first five verses of Romans chapter 8. Of course, Paul is continuing. And we looked at, I think it was chapter 7, verses 14 through 8 and 1 last time. But Paul continues, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit," we could say they mind. It's okay to do that. That's the meaning. "But they that are after the flesh, the things, that are after the Spirit, I'm sorry, the things of the Spirit." Remember, there is therefore now no condemnation. Not just now in a present tense, though that is certainly true. But it's now even in light of, "O wretched man that I am."
Amen.
Even in light of, "Sometimes I do those things that I hate. And what I love to do, I do not do."
Exactly.
But it's never that is the end. Because it is, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Who is in Christ? According to the Apostle Paul here in this letter, he terms it this way: those in Christ walk after the Spirit. And he states that twice. Number one, first of all, only those who God puts in Christ are in Christ.
Amen.
Paul to our brothers and sisters at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1, 30-31, "But of God are you in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
It is not of man's will, but it is an act of God Almighty's will. You don't get in Jesus Christ. You have to be put in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Secondly, those whom God puts in Christ, they are those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
Now get this. Oh, God help us to get this. This is a description of those who are in Christ. It is not a condition of how to get in Christ,
exactly,
or to be in Christ, or to continue in Christ.
Exactly.
It is not a qualification.
No.
It is who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It is not if you walk not after the flesh.
Right.
If you walk after the flesh, you are not in Christ.
Exactly. That's what
it's that simple.
Yeah.
And that's scary at the same time.
Because
my flesh wants to do something to give myself assurance that I'm in Christ. And yet we've looked at what our flesh does. Our flesh at best, and I don't even know that that's the flesh, at best in us is this: "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good." I'm talking about God good.
Amen.
Not watered down good, not acceptable amongst men and women good. I'm talking about acceptable before a thrice holy God good. How to perform that which is good, I find not. So it's again, it is, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and they are they who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I realize this goes against the grain of most of what is taught today, because most people want to have some little leeway out. Ask a man or a woman, "Do you believe that the Scripture says if we confess our sins, He's just and faithful to forgive us our sins?" "Of course I do." "So does that mean I can sin all I want and all I have to do is confess?" You sin all you want now. So you've looked for your little out, didn't you?
Exactly.
That's right. Oh, God, help us to be as honest with Him and before ourselves as we can be. I thank God, he says, if you confess your sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins, because I have way too many of them.
Yes, sir.
Paul then describes the authority of this God-wrought, Spirit-given life in Christ Jesus, and that's what it is. It is a potent and effectual cause of liberty from the authority of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And who's that? They're the ones who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For, so here's the potency, here's the efficacy. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's something God did for you. That's something God did for me if he's done it for me. God had to do it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. It has liberated me from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Although I do not see that in myself.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
When I look inside, I still have to cry, oh wretched man that I am. If there's any good in me, if there's a will to do that which is good, I know from God's book where that come from.
Yes, sir.
And it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So again, I said, Paul then described the authority of this God-wrought, Spirit-given life in Christ Jesus, and it is potent and effectual, and it is the potent and effectual cause of liberty from the authority of sin and death. It is not Mosaic. It is not Mosaic law. Mosaic law never liberates.
That's right.
And we've preached that and preached that for years here. And then we have someone in the midst of us rise up and call us heretics because we preached that. We're not the ones that changed our message. We're not the ones that changed our message. I'm here to declare this liberating authority is not the law of Moses. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And we believe that life is real.
Amen.
It's not a doctrinal theory. It's something God does for everyone he places in Christ Jesus. It's not Mosaic. The Mosaic law never liberates. I dare say it. The Mosaic law cannot liberate.
Amen.
For what the law has a tough time doing. You know what it says? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. And you get this. Oh, God, help us to get this. I wish these legalists, God would give them eyes to see it. The law deals with your flesh.
Yes, sir.
The law condemns our flesh. And as we will, God willing, see later, we're not to even be trying to conform our flesh to the law.
Yeah.
A nice thought, ain't it? But we're never told to conform our flesh to the law. We're told, mortify your members which are upon the earth.
That's right.
We're to mortify them, not sanctify them.
Exactly.
Because you're going to be beating a dead horse that's already dead if you're trying to get your flesh to love God's law and keep God's law and obey God's law.
You're right.
Well, then you mean this. I mean exactly what I just said. You put one, anybody want to put words on my mouth, you go ahead, but you will stand before God, because what I'm giving you is God's word. There is therefore now, even in light of, O wretched man that I am, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But even though I am a wretched man, by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I can walk after the Spirit.
Amen.
That's easy to do when the Spirit's doing the work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I don't say it comes naturally, because it don't come naturally. It comes as an act of God Almighty in grace and mercy and compassion. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in his own flesh. Paul then describes the intended results of this cross work, this Christ work, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Amen.
Not by us.
Exactly.
It was fulfilled by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we stand in His righteousness and have been given through the authority of God Almighty life in Christ Jesus. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who is that? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul then declares the difference between unregenerate and regenerate. Between unconverted and gospel converted. Between those who are saved, if you will, or those who are lost. Or, as he puts it, those who walk after the flesh, or those who walk after the Spirit. Four. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh.
Amen.
That's all they could ever do.
Exactly.
That's all they could ever do. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. Number one, quickly, the unregenerate are those who walk as pertaining to, as bound by the flesh, they do mind. They give their full attention to the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Even when they don't realize it.
Yeah.
Even in their most religious and holy, it's hard to do it, but in their most religious and holy acts,
mm-hmm.
when we're minding the flesh, that's all we're minding is what? The flesh.
Right.
Whether it's immoral flesh or moral flesh.
There you go.
Whether it's irreligious flesh or whether it's religious flesh. It all binds the flesh.
Exactly.
And Paul lets us know that's death.
Yeah.
That's death. So again, the unregenerate are those who walk as pertaining to, as bound by the flesh. They do mind. They give their full attention to the things of the flesh. Their devotion resides with the flesh.
Exactly.
And sadly, that is most of what is pawned off before men and women in this world as Christianity today. Is a bunch of unregenerate people trying to act like they're regenerate.
You're right.
And that's why you got to beg them or threaten them to come to church. Because they don't love the Lord.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you love something or you love someone, you're going to be devoted to them.
Yes.
If you're not devoted to them, then you don't love them. It's black and white, as we say.
Yes, sir.
It's flesh versus spirit. You got to scare people. To give to the ministry of the gospel. Aren't you glad God moved somebody to spend a little time, a little effort, and a little money to try to get the gospel preached?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Huh? God don't save you by money, but it takes money to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
I mean, it takes money to pay these light bills.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But again, this is what the unregenerate, the one who walks after the flesh, they mind. The things of the flesh. But the regenerate, on the other hand, are those who mind. That is, they give their full attention to. Oftentimes, they're giving their attention to it and they don't even realize they are.
Right.
Because it's the Spirit of God moving them to do it. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You see it? Not Mosaic law. It's not even church law. It's not even church rules. And there are some rules that we're to walk by. And Paul said, here's the main one, a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And that's the main rule?
Yeah.
That's the main rule. The unregenerate are those who are on the other hand. It's the total flip side. They mind the things of the Spirit. What are these two opposed things? Flesh things, Spirit things? Paul shows us clearly what they are in, and I will turn to it, Galatians chapter 5. He delineates. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see it?
That's what it says.
So that lets me know that the lust of the flesh is still down in there.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
But I must walk in the Spirit if I'm not to fulfill those things. Four. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law.
Amen.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest. This is not something hid in a corner and hard to find out. He gives us a partial list. The works of the flesh are these. They're manifest. They're out there. No. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Everything else of that ilk. And notice even heresies is included in there.
Yes, sir.
A heretic may be a very moral person.
Oh, yeah.
A very legalistic person. But they're still a heretic. And if you just have the heresy, it's flesh. You see? It's flesh. I know most people think flesh is nothing but the beer joints and the prostitutes and all of that stuff. No, it's men and women who gather under places that says Baptist Church on it. Or Presbyterian Church on it. Or Church of Christ over it. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It goes on. Of such and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. You see it? If we live in the Spirit, let us walk. Also, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Why? Because everything I've got, God gives it to me as a gift of His free, sovereign, reigning mercy. I have earned none of it. And neither have you earned any of it. It comes at His sovereign pleasure. And if it's really come to you that way, it makes you grateful to God.
Amen.
It makes you love Him and desire to walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering.
Amen.
Now, consider a few things of the Spirit in God's overall work. I'll run right through these. Of God's overall work of grace in Jesus Christ. Minding the things of the Spirit are as follows. And remember, this is just a few. This is just a few. I'm going to turn to the passage. You listen to what it says. Don't be trying to find what it says. Listen. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says. There is initial free grace experienced. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father comes to me.
Amen.
That is a statement of gracious fact.
Amen.
Not a proposition given to men as to whether they'll let this be or not.
Exactly.
It's written in the prophets. There's a group of people that God's going to teach. And when He teaches them, they are all coming to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what it means to walk after the Spirit.
Sir.
If you've missed that one, you ain't walking in nothing but flesh.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here to tell you. If you've missed that one.
Yeah.
Number two, there is continued free grace. There is continued free grace. And as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. And I hear men argue, well, it don't really mean they believed Him. Well, what does it mean then? They did believe in Him. But we'll see here that their believing was of the flesh.
Exactly.
So it ain't believing any way you want.
Yeah.
Get it? And as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed.
Amen.
You quit, you'll never get to the goal of eternal glory. And that's the way it is. I don't have time to keep explaining that. That's just the way it is. And here it is. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
I like that. I need that kind of walking in the Spirit, don't you? I need the truth. Jesus Christ Himself, Jack Meadows, to make me free.
Amen.
Here's the third one. There is corrective free grace. You hear what I said? I said corrective free grace. And have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son? Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
Amen.
And scourgeth every son he receiveth.
Amen.
If you could go on in self and flesh, I don't care whether it's moral flesh or immoral flesh. Doesn't matter. That's not the point. That's not the point. If you could go on in self, if you could go on in flesh, and God never brings you back in line, he doesn't love you. You are not his. As a matter of fact, the writer here calls us, a person like that, a bastard. That's illegitimate, correct? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, that's those who are sons, those who are his offspring, then if you're not, if you don't have that, then you are bastards and not sons.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? Here's the fourth one. There is, that's what walking in the Spirit is. It's initial free grace being experienced by God teaches you and you run to Christ. There is continued free grace. You learn who the truth is, that it's a person, and he makes you free. Once God opens your eyes and you really see him, you never can get over that.
Yeah, that's right. That's
because if you can't get over it, you never really seen it.
Exactly.
And there is corrective free grace because we are so faulty.
Oh, yeah.
And full of sin and failure. But there's also free grace all the way up until death.
Amen.
Listen to it. These all died in faith.
Amen.
If you miss that by one day,
there you go.
You're a goner.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
If you miss it by one day, the day before I die, I say, this Christ thing is nothing to me. If that's real, I don't care if you've been professing him for 100 years. You'll perish forever.
That's right.
These all died in faith. So, to sum this up. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And that's our only hope.
Not
our only hope. Father, be with Paul as he travels. Be with us as we travel. May our hearts and minds be stayed upon you. Lord, we are so faulty, so sinful, so prone to look to the flesh, so prone to look to self. But, oh, God, force us. Force us by your free, reigning, sovereign mercy to have our eyes stayed upon Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.